Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back.
All you positive heads, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today's been an interesting day. I don't know how many of you have felt this interesting energy today, but I don't quite know how to explain it. It just feels peaceful and silent. Like I felt a little just kind of super quiet today and introspective. I think Brian's asked me a couple times, like, are you okay? And yeah, I'm fine. It's just, I feel very almost like time has stopped. And come to find out later, today is actually the Mayan day out of time. And so that could be a reason why I am feeling this way. I think I'm sensing the energies of what's going on in our solar system and in our galaxy. And so I found a couple of things I'd like to share with you about today. One is from 13moon.com website. And they say that the day out of time is always synchronized with July 25th. Based on the galactic calendar, this is the 365th day of the year. But this day is no day of the month and no day of the week. This is a day for sacred pause and celebration before the dawning of the galactic new year, which is always July 26th. And then I also found on newearthcentral.com, written by Meg Benedict, based on the Maya 13 moon calendar, July 25th is known as the day out of time. On this day, people of all cultures around the world celebrate and honor the universal cycle of eternal time. Step into the space of timelessness and embrace the abundance that exists in the quantum field. So, interesting energies today, a timeless day, and I can feel it. I don't know if any of you can feel it, but I sure do find it interesting. So that has absolutely nothing to do with what I wanted to talk about today, but I just, I thought that was a neat little tidbit to share. What I do want to talk about today is a topic that most people don't want to talk about. So let's talk about it. Shame. Shame and guilt, which are actually two different things. We tend to use these words synonymously to mean the same thing, but when we research it and look at it, we find that they're actually two totally different things. Guilt is about something that you have done, and shame is about something that you are. So it's way deeper than guilt. And I think that having guilt about something that you have done can cause you to become ashamed, but that's different than shame itself. Shame itself comes from mainly being not accepted for one reason or another, whether it was growing up or whether that is now. Teal Swan did an interesting talk on shame at the Conscious Life Expo this year. And what she talked about was that we are such a socialized culture, and shame exists because of this socialization. And our survival actually depends on how close we are with our social group. And that's how we feel protected and safe when we are close to our social group. And this is especially true when we are infants and children. We look to our parents for those survival needs. And with absolutely zero fault of our parents, well, some parents are at fault, I guess, but I think for the most part, most of our parents have really tried to do the best they could, but they've all screwed us up in one way or another, right? Like, did you have one parent that you couldn't please? So if you're someone that had a parent that they couldn't please, then that's, you can look to those areas to where you developed shame. And the shame, it happens like a biological reaction. Like you feel it when it happens, like a wave of emotion, or almost like a sinking that happens. And I think it's different for everyone what that feels like, but it is a biological reaction, just like fight or flight is. And shame happens as a result of how we respond to this reaction. So Teal made a great point in her talk where she talked about when this happens, what we do is we internally triangulate. And what that means is that to establish closeness with one part of ourselves, we have to push away another part of ourselves. So when we are children and we needed something from our parents that they didn't either want to or couldn't give us at the time, we took that and pushed that part of ourselves away in order to gain acceptance from them because we needed that. So the more we pushed that part away and pushed that part away and pushed another part away, we become fragmented, and this shame is actually these parts that we have pushed away. And I think that that's a really interesting thing to think about. Shame is those parts of you that you have pushed away. And this is from Teal Swan's talk. And I just think it's a very important thing to examine within ourselves, are those parts of us that we have pushed away in order to gain acceptance. So we came in to this earth, into this life, whole and complete. And then things happen in life. And we change ourselves in order to fit in. And we do this subconsciously, especially when we're little, but we don't realize that we have done that as an adult when these things have piled up and turned into that gremlin in our closet. All these pushed away parts turn into what we feel as unworthiness for whatever reason. And I think that's one of the biggest differences between shame and guilt, is with shame, it is a feeling of deep internal unworthiness. And with guilt, it's something that you have done that you wished you could have done better. And with guilt, forgiveness can come in. You can try to find a way to make amends, and then you can let it go. Ian LaVanzant says, guilt is a wasted emotion. And it really is, because what does guilt serve? Think about it. So if you can acknowledge that you've hurt somebody, ask for forgiveness, make amends, you own up to it, you take responsibility, then you can end this karmic wheel. It doesn't serve any purpose to carry around this heavy weight. When you look back, did you know any better? It's kind of what Jesus used to say, forgive them for they do not know what they do, but turn that on yourself. Forgive yourself because you didn't know what you were doing. And hopefully you have learned from the situation, and you can even make a vow with yourself that you will do better next time. How many of us are looking back at our younger selves thinking, if I only knew then what I knew now, right? And from that perspective, we can bring in a different sense of compassion to our younger selves and be able to forgive that past self, because it's in the past. It's no longer part of the present. And from this point moving on, we can do differently. We can make that choice. And I think more often than not, when we do look back at the things in our past that we wish we could have changed, we actually think, you know, I wouldn't change that because it made me who I am today. So when we look at these things as blessings, as opportunities for learning, then we can forgive ourselves a whole lot easier. So one of my favorite researchers in this topic is Brené Brown, and she did a wonderful TED talk called Listening to Shame that I'm going to share just the last 10 minutes of with you. Take a listen.
And I did not learn about vulnerability and courage and creativity and innovation from studying vulnerability. I learned about these things from studying shame. And so I want to walk you in to shame. Jungian analysts call shame the swampland of the soul. And we're going to walk in, and the purpose is not to walk in and, you know, construct a home and live there. It is to put on some galoshes and walk through and find our way around. Here's why. We heard the most compelling call ever to have a conversation in this country, and I think globally, around race, right? Yes, we heard that. Yes. Cannot have that conversation without shame. Because you cannot talk about race without talking about privilege. And when people start talking about privilege, they get paralyzed by shame. We heard a brilliant, simple solution to not killing people in surgery, which is have a checklist. You can't fix that problem without addressing shame, because when they teach those folks how to suture, they also teach them how to stitch their self-worth to being all-powerful. And all-powerful folks don't need checklists. And I had to write down the name of this TED fellow so I didn't mess it up here. Mishkan Ingawale. I hope I did right by you. I saw the TED fellows my first day here, and he got up and he explained how he was driven to create some technology to help test for anemia because people were dying unnecessarily. And he said, I saw this need, so you know what I did? I made it. And everybody just burst into applause, and they were like, yes! And he said, and it didn't work. And then I made it 32 more times. And then it worked. You know what the big secret about TED is? I can't wait to tell people this. I guess I'm doing it right now. This is like the failure conference. No, it is. You know why this place is amazing? Because very few people here are afraid to fail. And no one that gets on the stage so far that I've seen has not failed. I have failed miserably many times. I don't think the world understands that because of shame. There's a great quote that saved me this past year by Theodore Roosevelt. A lot of people refer to it as the man in the arena quote. And it goes like this. It is not the critic who counts. It is not the man who sits and points out how the doer of deeds could have done things better and how he falls and stumbles. The credit goes to the man in the arena whose face is marred with dust and blood and sweat. But when he's in the arena, at best, he wins, and at worst, he loses. But when he fails, when he loses, he does so daring greatly. And that's what this conference to me is about. That's what life is about daring greatly, about being in the arena. When you walk up to that arena and you put your hand on the door and you think, I'm going in and I'm going to try this, shame is the gremlin who says, you're not good enough. You never finished that MBA. Your wife left you. I know your dad really wasn't in Luxembourg, he was in Sing Sing. I know you, those things that happened to you growing up. I know you don't think that you're pretty enough or smart enough or talented enough or powerful enough. I know your dad never paid attention even when you made CFO. Shame is that thing. And then if we can quiet it down and walk in and say, I'm going to do this, we look up and the critic that we see pointing and laughing 99% of the time is who? Us. Shame drives two big tapes, never good enough. And if you can talk it out of that one, who do you think you are? The thing to understand about shame is it's not guilt. Shame is a focus on self. Guilt is a focus on behavior. Shame is, I am bad. Guilt is, I did something bad. How many of you, if you did something that was hurtful to me, would be willing to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake? How many of you would be willing to say that? Guilt. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Shame. I'm sorry, I am a mistake. There is a huge difference between shame and guilt. And here's what you need to know. Shame is highly, highly correlated with addiction, depression, violence, aggression, bullying, suicide, eating disorders. And here's what you even need to know more. Guilt, inversely correlated with those things. The ability to hold something we've done or failed to do up against who we want to be is incredibly adaptive. It's uncomfortable, but it's adaptive. The other thing you need to know about shame is it's absolutely organized by gender. If shame washes over me and washes over Chris, it's going to feel the same. Everyone sitting in here knows the warm wash of shame. We're pretty sure that the only people who don't experience shame are people who have no capacity for connection or empathy. Which means, yes, I have a little shame. No, I'm a sociopath. So I would opt for, yes, you have a little shame. Shame feels the same for men and women, but it's organized by gender. For women, the best example I can give you is Anjali, the commercial. I can put the wash on the line, pack the lunches, hand out the kisses, and be work at 5 to 9. I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan, and never let you forget you're a man. For women, shame is do it all, do it perfectly, and never let them see you sweat. I don't know how much perfume that commercial sold, but I guarantee you it moved a lot of antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. Shame for women is this web of unattainable, conflicting, competing expectations about who we're supposed to be. And it's a straitjacket. For men, shame is not a bunch of competing, conflicting expectations. Shame is one. Do not be perceived as what? Weak. I did not interview men for the first 4 years of my study. And it wasn't until a man looked at me one day after a book signing and said, I love what you have to say about shame. I'm curious why you didn't mention men. And I said, I don't study men. And he said, that's convenient. And I said, why? And he said, because you say to reach out, tell our story, be vulnerable. But you see those books you just signed for my wife and my 3 daughters? I said, yeah. They'd rather me die on top of my white horse than watch me fall down. When we reach out and be vulnerable, we get the shit beat out of us. And don't tell me it's from the guys and the coaches and the dads. Because the women in my life are harder on me than anyone else. So I started interviewing men and asking questions. And what I learned is this. You show me a woman who can actually sit with a man in real vulnerability and fear, I'll show you a woman who's done incredible work. You show me a man who can sit with a woman who's just had it. She can't do it all anymore. And his first response is not, I unloaded the dishwasher. But he really listens, because that's all we need. I'll show you a guy who's done a lot of work. Shame is an epidemic in our culture. and to get out from underneath it, to find our way back to each other, we have to understand how it affects us and how it affects the way we're parenting, the way we're working, the way we're looking at each other. Very quickly, some research by Mihalik at Boston College. He asked, what do women need to do to conform to female norms? The top answers in this country: nice, thin, modest, and use all available resources for appearance. When he asked about men, what do men in this country need to do to conform with male norms? The answers were, always show emotional control, work is first, pursue status, and violence. If we're going to find our way back to each other, we have to understand and know empathy, because empathy is the antidote to shame. If you put shame in a petri dish, it needs three things to grow exponentially: secrecy, silence, and judgment. If you put the same amount of shame in a petri dish and douse it with empathy, it can't survive. The two most powerful words when we're in struggle: me too. And so I'll leave you with this thought. If we're going to find our way back to each other, vulnerability is going to be that path. And I know it's seductive to stand outside the arena, because I think I did it my whole life, and think to myself, I'm going to go in there and kick some ass when I'm bulletproof and when I'm perfect. And that is seductive. But the truth is, that never happens. And even if you got as perfect as you could and as bulletproof as you could possibly muster, when you got in there, that's not what we want to see. We want you to go in. We want to be with you and across from you. And we just want, for ourselves and for the people we care about and the people we work with, to dare greatly. So thank y'all very much. I really appreciate it.
What a great analogy there at the beginning, shame being the swampland of the soul, and how we need to put on our galoshes and take a walk through it, find our way around, walk through all the muck and the mire. And that's how we really get down to the nitty gritty, right? We gotta take a walk around, find our way. She says, shame is that gremlin who always says, you're not good enough. And 99% of the time, it's us. It's our own selves criticizing ourselves. It's usually not the people around us. And it could be. But mostly, the damage that we're doing to ourselves by judging ourselves. So shame drives two big tapes: never good enough, and who do you think you are? How many of your parents said that to you growing up? Mine did. Who do you think you are, having an opinion, speaking up the way you're speaking up to an adult? Who do you think you are? Interesting, right? Who do we think we are? I think we are infinite fractals of source, right? That's who I think we are. So let's embrace that. Yeah. And when we can remember that, remember it, and embrace that, we can have a whole new perspective on this journey. We came here to learn and to have experience, and we chose our parents in order to help us learn those things. So if you came here to learn about self-love or refining the lessons of self-love, you chose a parent who told you that you weren't good enough. And since that resonates with mostly all of us, it sounds like a lot of us are here learning the lessons of love, of self-love. And that's difficult to do when we're beaten down, when we're little, and when we get older. When people tell you, oh, you just need to love yourself. Sure. But how do you actually do that, coming from this place of deep unworthiness where you don't even understand where it's coming from? And I love how Brené Brown said, the antidote to shame is empathy and compassion. When we can understand one another, have compassion for one another, That's how we can find our way back to each other. The antidote to shame, finding our way back to one another and having compassion and empathy. You know, what really hit me with this was when she talked about the differences between men and women. We both feel the same warm wash of shame, that same biological effect that happens to us. But for women, it's about unattainable expectations about who we're supposed to be. And about men, and with men, it's about not being perceived as weak. I gotta say, when she told that story about the man who walked up to her and said that the women in his life are harder on him than anyone else, that it's not about the dad or the brothers or the coaches, it's the women in his life that are harder. And wow, that is so true. I can really relate to that. And I, for one, am glad to have heard it because I can see how I'm doing that in my life. And that's the last thing I want to do. I want to embrace vulnerability as much as I can. But I think it's this subconscious programming that men have to be strong. But once we realize that we're doing this and we can catch ourselves in it, then we can change it. So the three things that shame needs to grow are secrecy, silence, and judgment. So it's really important that we speak our truth, that we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, and we don't judge ourselves so much. And in this way, we find compassion for ourselves, we find compassion for one another, and then we can find our way back to one another. And we can all feel safe and secure and loved. Teal Swan also said in her talk that to love something is to take it as a part of yourself. So when we can take back those parts of ourself and love them, then we can release our shame. Compassion is the antidote to shame. So when we can have intimacy with it, into me, see it, right? Understand that part of ourself, then we have compassion and then we have the antidote. So there you have it, everyone. The antidote to shame. I'm going to leave you with a song for today. This is Wookie Foot. Be fearless and play. Love you all, everyone. Till next time.
Light of sun in the sky sends the message. Be fearless and play.
Times, my friend, I could see the storm cloud gathering. Try to close your eyes to the ignorance and lies, but it still feels like a heavy load. Greed and fear are the seeds that appear to have taken root through our garden right here. These sights and sounds were dragging me down, so I went out upon the road. I went across the ocean, out to Thailand and Cambodia, up to Kathmandu, Sri Lanka, through Tibet and down to India, and up on a hill in Rishikesh, I came across a holy man with shining eyes and lips and smiling grinning. This is what he said: nothing so tall we can't climb over. There's nothing so wide we cannot cross. Live here in today.
Be fearless and play.
Lanka, been to Benin and down to India. And up on a hill in Michigan, I came across a holy man with shining eyes and looked a smiley grin and that's what he said.
Nothing so tall we can't climb over. There's nothing so wide we cannot cross. Child, go wild, let me hear you scream.
Fearless and play. Be fearless and play now.
Even though we never seem to have it all together, still I know when it's all together we can have it all, yeah.
Fearless and play, yeah. Fearless and play, my friend. You can live for tomorrow and still live here in today. Be fearless and play. Be fearless and play. This is one thing no one could ever take away.